You're listening to Critical Reads. This show is designed to help people critically analyze topics like race, culture, and faith, one resource at a time. I am your host, Neff Lesperance. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Critical Reads, the podcast. As the intro says, I am your host, Neff. For those of you who are newer to the show, welcome. And for those of you who are familiar with Critical Reads, welcome back. Previous episode was Modern Love Part 1. So for those of you who have already listened to that episode, you already know that this episode is Part 2 of a two-part episode that I did with my friend Diane, where we discuss Modern Love, a TV show that is on Amazon Prime that talks a little bit about having bipolar disorder and living with bipolar disorder. We decided to do that episode and talk about it in honor of Mental Health Awareness Month, just to give people more of a background or an idea of what it looks like for some to live with mental health issues or have mental illness. And so I had mentioned in the previous episode that because it ended up being a really good episode and it was very long, I wanted to break it up. So if you guys have not listened to part one yet, I please encourage you to go back, listen to part one, and then come back here and finish up with part two. So without further ado, I will have you guys listen to part two of Modern Love, and I hope that you all get as much out of it as Diane and I got as we shared about everything.
So after they kind of do that little montage where they're explaining everything, she ends up waking up the next day because I guess she's like kind of sleeping during that time. Or so there's a moment where like she wakes up and she's like, I actually feel good.
She can feel.
Yeah, she can feel. Yeah. So she's feeling good. She's opening up her door. I mean, not her door. She's opening up her windows, letting light into the room. And it's really interesting because we forgot to mention part of when they ended their date. She was like, oh, do you want to do this again sometime? She even offers to have sex with him, which I was like, that's interesting. But he was like, nah, let's see. Maybe you call me when you're ready again, right? Yeah. Yeah. And so as she's getting up, she's feeling good. She's on her like her manic side. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, let me call this man. So she calls this man. I think it's like 6 a.m. It's early.
It's 6 a.m.
Yeah, it's 6 a.m. So she calls this man. And she's like, basically, like, let's go on a date. And so she's like, I think she was trying to push to see if she can, like, do breakfast with him again or do something early, yeah. Right? Or meet with him that day.
Yeah, he was like, well, I have something to do. Like, I got plans. He didn't say what it was, but he said that he had something that day, maybe Tuesday, which was the next day, meaning that this is Monday. Mm-hmm. They had a date on Thursday. She has her up on Monday. And she's like, we need to do this now, because in her head, she has no idea if she's going to, how long this high is going to last, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, she like kind of pushes him to like do it today. And he says, okay, fine. She's going to make him dinner. So he's going to come over to her place in the evening. Mm-hmm. And so the entire day she kind of gets ready. And again, it's a very Cinderella moment, right? Where she's just like, la-di-da, and she's singing as she's getting ready and doing all this stuff for the house and cleaning. And I loved when she was like, I have to like clean like the bipolar out of this
place. Yeah, that was a funny line. Like
the whole, yeah, her whole apartment's a mess.
Yeah. And that
was also really funny to see, because there are times where it's kind of like shameful for me to have a messy house. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of nice that like it's very like a messy house is connected, or it's usually very connected to like mental illness, or just, and it's not a messy house only, but it's just like, not always, but it's usually kind of like an indicator of like, is this person okay?
Well, it's because if we're going through really like lows, it's you're not thinking about, oh, let me clean up the space and put some light in there. Like, I want it to be as dark as possible.
Yes.
I don't give a shit if my clothes is everywhere, if shit is in a disarray. That's none of my business. But when I'm feeling good, I'm like, turn on some lights. Let's put on some music. Yeah, let's put the sun in the room. Uh-huh. Exactly. So it's true. It's like you kind of see really well played out in this episode where you see her like, all right, let's make this place look more presentable and match my feelings.
It's just nice to see like, okay, I'm not the only messy bitch when I get depressed. Like
that's, we're like that's relatable like. Content. Oh my God.
I feel seen. I feel acknowledged. Like it was a nice little moment.
And I do love again, they show a little montage of her with like upbeat music walking around New York. Like, so again, you kind of see her a little bit more like of a perspective.
Yeah.
You see another perspective of her of like, oh, this is how she sees herself when she's happy. You get to.
I love that she said when she's getting ready and getting all the groceries or like whatever, she's out. She says, when I'm like in this high, she sees her life and herself as like a character in a movie. And she's like the main person.
Mm-hmm.
Like her life is just like a TV show and like all this stuff. And I'm like, because we're watching you on TV. But second of all, same. But I mean, like, because like, man, this show, like this episode specifically, it's just so relatable. And like the more I watch it, the more, because the first time I don't even remember realizing that she said, I see my life as a TV show. Like, I don't remember her saying that the first time I watched it. This time I was like, oh, yeah, me too. Like when I'm like feeling really good about myself, what do they call it? Like main character vibes. Like,
That makes sense. Yeah. I don't think I'd go completely to that part of it, but I still was like, yeah, this makes sense. Like when what she was saying made sense to me. Yeah. So, but yeah, I thought that was cool. And then it sucks though. Like slowly, it was kind of similar to Inside Out where sadness just started like touching and creeping in. Like that's kind of what happens with her where she's like, first she's watching the show. What's the person's name that she was watching again? Rita?
Rita Hayworth.
Yeah. So she's watching her on TV, which I thought was interesting that they keep using her, but she's watching her on TV. Rita says something sad and it kind of starts slowly like creeping in, but it finally hits her when she's like doing makeup.
Yeah.
And it was so sad to watch her be like, no. Cause she knows like she's coming
on.
It's coming. And this man is about to
like come he's over. Ringing on her doorbell. Mm-hmm. Like he's like ding dong, ding dong. And she's putting on mascara. She's done. The last step is mascara. And it falls out of her hands. And she's just like, so she's like fighting, right? To hold on to that high, to that feeling of like, well, not the low, right? She's trying not to feel that. And she's trying to hold on to like feeling okay.
Exactly.
And it was just so sad. But that line that Rita Hayworth said, which I love Rita Hayworth. I think she's great. She's like one of my favorite like old school Hollywood actresses.
I really know nothing about her.
She's great. She's actually a Spanish. She is, I think, part Spaniard. And they like changed the way that she looks. Like they changed her hairline. And I think they changed her nose to make her look more American.
Because
I guess she kind of looked too exotic for Hollywood.
Oh, girl. But she looked whitish already.
Yeah. Oh, they changed her hairline and then they changed the color of her hair.
Que pecado.
She was half like Irish and half Spaniard.
Mm-hmm.
And so her real name is Margarita. And anyway, they call her Rita Hayworth. But her real name is Margarita. It's really, really sad. She started dancing when she was really, really young because her dad was a dancer and he taught her how to dance. But he would also like essay her. Yeah, it was bad. Like he would introduce his daughter as his wife or as his. Like, yeah, it was disgusting. So she has a terrible, terrible backstory. But Fred Armisen, who is a very famous, well-known, like, old school Hollywood dancer, he has actually said that Rita Hayworth is his favorite. Like, he loved dancing with Rita because she picked up the steps really fast. And so she was always, like, a pleasure, according to him, to work with.
That's so crazy. She literally died like 3 years before I was born. So she's not that far from here. Yeah, 87.
Wow. Yeah, I absolutely love her. Yeah, I think she's great. But the reason why Yeah, it's really tragic. But the reason the quote that they reference, that Lexi references, it kind of touches on what I was saying, where it's like, I'll just say the quote where she says that Rita Hayworth is talking about her character, Gilda, mm-hmm. the one that you see like the clip of when she's like she's pulling up her hair and all this stuff. And so she says that a lot of like all the men go to sleep with Gilda, right? And they mm-hmm. want to sleep with Gilda. And then they wake up to Rita and it's almost like they're disappointed or it's something like that. I butchered the quote, but mm-hmm.
the message of, version.
Right. So I think that kind of parallels really well to like to Lexi's storyline, because men meet her at her high, but they can never like, they don't like her at her low, mainly because she doesn't tell them that that's her low. But most yeah. of the time, I mean, it's almost like, okay, well, she's not interested or she can't cope or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why it's kind of important to acknowledge that like comparison. And I think that's why they made her have like red hair to look like Rita Hayworth.
Yeah,
I think
that makes sense.
It's such a strong connection mm-hmm. between her and Rita Hayworth because of that quote that she said where
yeah.
people expect me to be like this, but then they realize that I'm not. And they're just kind of like, where is she? Mm-hmm. You know, where's that girl that I thought was fabulous and amazing? It's like, well, I'm not always going to be, like you said, I'm not going to be always on. There's mm-hmm. times where you just want to like turn off and be an actual human being.
Exactly. And I think that's the thing of like, whether you have mental illness or not,
yeah.
Or whether you're whatever race, yeah. like, mm-hmm. I think all of us just want to be known for who we are. And it's like the good parts, the bad parts, the medium, all of it. And
all
so
the
I
mediocre
think,
parts.
Yeah, yeah, everything. So I do think like, besides the mental health piece of this episode, and that line is so perfect, because I think a lot of the times we attribute people in a certain way, and we're like, oh, we want them to just be that way sometimes, instead of recognizing like, no, like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's cool that you're this way, but mm-hmm. I also like you when you're just chilling. And I know I have like some friends, I think with you and again, Jenny, like there's times where it's like, you guys are like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm down right now, or I'm not like being a yeah. certain way. And I'm just like, nah, I just wanted to talk to you. I don't care if you're like yeah. At 10 or if you're like -2.
Yes.
Like sometimes I just wanted to see your face. I just wanted to talk to you. And I think yeah. that's what people want. Like, we don't just want to have to be at a 10 for you to love us. If I'm at a -2, a 0, a -5,000, whatever the number is, like, we just want people to be able to be like, I love you, period. Yeah. You don't have to do anything else. And I mean, sure. and so yeah. I think this episode does a really good job of highlighting that, especially when you're talking about people who do have mental illness, like, they just want to be loved. They don't want to have to be a certain way yes. to be loved. But of course, like, it's great if there are medications that kind of help level it out.
Yeah.
But even then, it's like, even if, let's say, Lexi's character didn't find a medication that helped her, just being, the point is like, she wants to be loved punto. Like, no, it doesn't yes. matter whether she's medicated,
with
not
no
medicated.
Yeah.
It doesn't yes. have to be yes. a condition. Yeah. So, I mean, I know I skipped a little bit, but I just love that. That's the point. Like, she wants to be loved for who she is, not how she's presenting and stuff like that. So I think that's an important piece here, which is cool. And then that quote that you mentioned is a really good way of just like highlighting that and amplifying that part. So yeah, but it was really sad to watch her go through all that effort. She cleaned the house.
Yeah, this man really also
went through it.
Plans, you know.
Yes, girl.
He's like trying to call her. And I remember watching this the first time and being like, girl, just tell him.
Yes, girl. And, you just wanted to like, scream.
Yeah, but at the same time, there's no guarantee that he'd be like, oh my gosh, I get it. I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there anything that I can do? Do you want me to do anything? How can
exactly.
I help? How can I be there for you? And he doesn't, she doesn't give him that opportunity, mm-hmm. but we also don't know what he would have done.
Exactly.
Know?
And she does even mention that in her speech afterwards, where she's like saying how basically this, I'm going to message version this too, but she's like kind of saying how this is like the, a silence of another man that kind of leaves before passing her doorstep or her porch.
Yeah, her porch.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting too, where she highlights like what would have happened if I actually went out there and told him.
Yeah. Like I wrote down a quote that she says where she's like, I'm kind of like, she's tired of not giving people a chance to make their own mind up about her. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow.
Again, relatable content.
Yeah, that again, I didn't pick that up the first time.
Yeah.
Second time, but the third time today, I was like, wow, okay, because I struggle with that too. You know, I reject people because I think X part of me is unlovable. So therefore, I don't like it. Nobody else will.
Exactly. Know? I can relate to that as well. And it is kind crazy.
Like the whole like the whole Adam thing where I freaked out because, and we can cut this out, this is not important, but I just want to say the whole Adam thing where I was in my head, I was like, no, it's this reason. This is the reason. And this is why. And then turns out that it was never the reason. But if I had let him make that choice, but he didn't want me anyway, because he was dealing with his own shit. I don't know what happened. Anyway, that's not important. I just wanted to say that.
For everybody that's wondering, Adam is the guy that she was kind of interested in.
We don't have to.
And Michael is a mutual friend, because I'm sure these people are like, who are these people? Anyways.
That's this guy, Michael, brushing her hair, but then she's trying to date somebody else.
Exactly. They're going to be like, I dispute that.
Yeah. She's like, she's cheating on her boyfriend. She's a fucking bitch. Why are we listening to her?
Anyway. I know. That's so funny. But anyways.
This whole Adam thing was a really long time ago.
I know.
But I recently found out that some information, and that changed everything. Like that, finding that out, I wasn't even upset. I was just, it was also a little bit validating. Because I was wow, it had nothing to do with this.
Exactly. Well, yeah. And I know for me too, it's like, even right now I have to wrestle with, I want to like guys and I want to let guys in. Mm-hmm. But there's always a part of me that's like, if I'm too vocal, are they going to want to be with me? And because I'm Black, are they going to want to be with me? Because I'm talking about racism all the time. So I always have those things in the back of my mind. And then a part of me wants to try to reject them before they reject me. So there is a lot of stuff that I was like, damn, Anne, this is real. So I kind of understood, even though part of me is like, girl, you should have told him. But at the same time, there's parts of me that I always try to suppress sometimes too, when I'm trying to figure out stuff with guys as well, because I'm like, I'm afraid that if I fully let myself be seen by you, you're not going to accept me. And then this is going to be a thing that validates this is why you're not good enough to date. Where it could just be okay, maybe this person is just not for you and that's okay. That's part of it too. And sometimes I know I say that to friends of mine where I'm like, girl, this person just isn't for you, because but at the same time, I can't say that to myself, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So
it's so easy to do.
Mm-hmm. I'm over here like, girl, you're being dumb. What you mean? This isn't and then, but it's like, nah, you just did this to yourself yesterday. So
I get harder on yourself than you are on yourself.
Yes, girl. So much harder. But I do like that she basically articulated something that all of us struggle with, whether you have mental illness or not, but then especially seeing it from a perspective of having mental illness was really cool. And I know as we were talking about this a little bit before we recorded, for me too, this episode is a challenge of since I work in inpatient care with a lot of patients, it's kind of hard for me as a social worker to be like, oh yeah, I would try to figure out dating for somebody with a mental health disorder, especially one that I'm not familiar with or I guess I would say I don't feel as equipped to working with or dating. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it is bipolar, because there are some bipolar disorder type people. They're a little bit milder and they're not doing anything too wild. And then there's some that I'm like, this would scare me to figure out how to date you. And it's not because I don't want to be open to it. It's just, I think it also depends on how they are, I guess, dealing with their illness. Are you actually going to therapy? Are you doing your own work? Blah, blah, blah. So I think that plays a role into it as well. But I know for me, I even have to check, okay, if somebody has to be honest with me and say, oh, I'm diagnosed with schizophrenia, or I'm diagnosed with bipolar disorder, or I'm diagnosed with a personality disorder, how would I react to it? So I think this episode was also a challenge for me as well, of like, it's so easy to be like, well, Jeff should have done da, 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 or Anne should have done it. But at the same time, it's like, how would I have reacted to this? But I mean, and it's easy, like being on the outside looking in, to be like, oh, you should have done blah, blah, blah. But then when I'm actually in that space, it's like, how would I do it? So that was, I guess, a challenge for me just watching that. And I was like, ooh, okay, I can't judge this man too hard. But after Anne kind of, or Lexi kind of shares her feelings about like how hard it is to let somebody in, and kind of questioning about like, would this guy have accepted me, all this stuff, then we kind of have to transition to her school. I mean, yeah, back to work, sorry, not school.
And they essentially like let her go.
Yes, girl. It's
too many days.
And it was sad because she was already knocked down already.
I know.
And to also lose her job. Yeah.
Her friend Sylvia that we met at the beginning of the episode is mad funny. Where she's like, hey, I'm sorry, didn't go the way that you wanted. I guess it seemed like they had some type of meeting with the HR people, and they essentially let her go. And so Sylvia's like, I'm sorry that the decision didn't go your way, but essentially I'm lost without you. Like, you were great. And she says something like, let's go get coffee. And then Anne is like, yeah, sure. Yeah, of course. Well, but then Sylvia turns around and she's like, okay, I'll be right back. And she's going to go get her purse. And then Anne, or Lexi's character, sorry, Lexi, she's like, oh, you meant right now.
Yeah, that was funny.
Because that's exactly how I would have felt. I would have been like, fuck, I didn't think that she meant like right this moment. I just thought she meant one of those things that people do where it's like, yeah, we should catch up. Yeah, for sure. And then you don't hear from them for like,
yeah, exactly. And depending on how you feel about that person, you're like, damn, like she really didn't. Or, oh, thank God. Like, yeah. But yeah, the fact that she was like, oh, yeah, let me go grab my purse. I was like,
and she's like, oh, right now. Yeah, so they go get coffee. And of course, this is like a work friend. So she asks her, Sylvia asks Lexi, like, so what happened with this supermarket guy? Because she told Sylvia about Jeff. And she's like, oh, no, he didn't stick. And she's like, wow, you go through them, huh? And I was like, damn, like, why? Like, this is not the right conversation to have.
And so she didn't say you go through them. That sounded like slut shaming.
Like that, yeah. And she's like, well, you're only young once, right? And I don't think she meant to shame her. Yeah. But I think they also mentioned, like, another guy that she was seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, it makes me, it reminds me of like Bianca, where she's like, Diane, I can't keep up with all the guys that you talk about because there's too many. And I don't know, like they're all like, they all sound the same to her, but it was just mad funny that, I don't know. Anyway,
yeah,
it just kind of reminded me of that, where I don't think it came from like slut shaming, but she's just like, there's a lot and I don't know which ones you're talking about.
Yeah, I know there was a period with us too where I was like, wait, is this the guy that was this? And you're like, no. But it's like healthy it's healthy to like date around in a way to kind of figure out what's going on. Well, so it's not honestly, a big deal.
If but I
it's
don't, funny. I would just be emotionally attached to the last one that I dated.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm too like, again, you can cut this off, but there's this new team lead. I told you about her. Her name is Lorraine and she's great and I love her. And I'm like, I'm already attached to her and I only know her for like 4 days, but I think she's wonderful. And now I wish I could work with her more. But again, I just get like attached too quickly. And unless I have like more than one suitor, I'm like, okay, well, there are possibilities.
I get that, because I know like when I'm figuring out dating stuff too, like if I talk to somebody and we kind of connect, I stop swiping. I'm like, let's like, yes. I focus.
Yes.
And then when it's like, oh God, this isn't okay, then I skip back. But I'm very like, I can't focus on multiple things. And I, like you said, I kind of get attached to some, but that's funny. Okay. So we mentioned the part about the dating, and Sylvia obviously is like talking to her about that. And then after that, does she go straight into asking her about how she's doing? Is that how they transition into it?
I think the whole dating part was a trigger. not a trigger, but I think it was the catalyst for Lexi to open up. I think because Sylvia was talking about, oh, well, what happened with this other guy, or what happened with this guy, or like, hey, you're only young once. Like, you can, you have, this is the time to date a whole bunch of people. I think that was the catalyst and why Sylvie felt like, not Sylvie, sorry, Lexi, felt like, I have to tell her, like, I'm going to tell her, because she kept saying like, oh, it just didn't work out. And it's like, well, it's more than that. It didn't work out because, and so that's when she straight up says like, I'm bipolar. Mm-hmm. And she kind of goes on a little bit of describing like what's been going on. And so I love that Sylvia, and this is the main takeaway for me. Modern love is about, like what you mentioned earlier, like different forms of love. It's self-love, it's platonic love, it's friendship, it's romantic and sexual and all this stuff. It could be all those things. But for me, my takeaway is this friendship. And this is why I love this movie so, so much, because when she tells Sylvia about her bipolar disorder, Sylvia says something that was really sweet to hear. And I feel like everybody deserves a friend like Sylvia. I keep calling her Sylvie, like she's my friend.
It's okay. She's all of our friends.
And so she says, like, Lexi not telling her that she's bipolar prevented her from connecting with Lexi the way that she always wanted to. And there's so much intention behind that. There's so much like, I want to be your friend. Mm-hmm. And you being honest with me has now opened up this door that I can now actually be your friend and be there. So basically what we were talking about, where we wanted, the way that we wanted Jeff to respond to Lexi's bipolar, is essentially what Sylvia is doing and responding. She said something else that she's like, you are the most fun I've ever had, like in, I don't know how many and how long or whatever. And she's like, and I am not letting that go. Mm-hmm. And I thought, like, again, that is so intentional. That is basically me, like, that is basically somebody saying, I am here for you. The entire time that we've been talking, we've been saying, like, we want somebody to love us and care for us at any stage. And that is Sylvia. Like, we get to this point and she's opening up, and Sylvia is the friend to fucking open up to. You
she's
know?
That bitch. Man, it's fine. Exactly. No, but I was worried at first when she was like, you're the only fun that I've had in a while or whatever. I was kind of worried at first. I was like, oh no, please don't. Because it kind of felt like a little bit of like, I like you because you're fun. Uh-huh. It kind of, but she does redeem herself. That's a better step. And but it's we canceled, know it's part like, of it. Yeah.
And she even cancels like a meeting that she had to do. She was already late to the meeting by going to get coffee. Mm-hmm. And she ends up canceling and rescheduling because at that moment she wants to hang out with Lexi, because Lexi has opened up about something very huge in her life. Mm-hmm. Sylvia's like, all right, my whole day, my whole like next 2 hours or whatever, how long that meeting was, now it's on you. Like, it's for you.
Yeah. And then they decide to go to breakfast, which is also cool.
Yeah. Again, the whole intimate. Oh my God, I didn't realize that. And I think that's super sweet. Again, like Lexi said, breakfast is intimate and it's messy hair.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God, look at that connection.
I missed that too.
I didn't. Yeah. I thought that's what you were saying. And
I missed that until you said it. That's so funny. But I will say, I know for me, the thing about this, because I'm always thinking about anti-racism and white supremacy, whatever. Yes. I just think it's so interesting. Like, because of the way our society is built up, it's like, because Lexi wasn't performing the way that she was expected in these corporate spaces, they basically were like, fuck you, right? Yeah. But then, like, it took this Black woman to be like, nah, I like you for you. And if that means I'm canceling this meeting to make sure that you are okay, those people are going to have to wait. Like, white supremacy doing this other shit will have to wait. Like, I am going to be here for you to make sure that you're okay. Yeah. And I thought that was something that I was like, yes, because I love that. I mean, again, this is a general brush, because I know there's people in our community that will rather do the white supremacy thing. But I do think a good chunk of our community, especially women in our communities, like people of color, like we're usually really good at being like, yes, the deadline is the deadline. We get it, whatever. But if I have to pause that deadline to really make sure that you are okay,
okay.
I'm going to do that. And so it's cool to kind of see that in a Black woman, because like, yeah, we do that all the time. And I do think Latina women do it all the time. There's a Native American woman. There's a lot of us that are like more concerned about actually caring about the person and not fulfilling a deadline. And I know that was really, that was true a lot, even in like when we did like Crew Together, everybody was like, oh, we have to get things done in a certain time. But there was a lot of us that were like, no, like if this student has a need, I don't care that we were supposed to be in this other meeting for an hour. Like, fuck that other meeting. This person has a dire need. I'm not going to like be like, oh, you need to have your attack or whatever is going on between the hours of 1 and 3, because I have to go do blah, blah, blah. No, if I have to extend my time, like I was willing to do that because I recognized like the priority was not the organization. The priority was the person. So if that meant that instead of only putting an hour for that person, it's going to end up being 2 hours, that's fine, because the person is what's supposed to be important. Okay. So I think that is something that I was like, yes, because like I love, that's what I'm about all the time. And even in my current role as a social worker at a hospital, like they know me that, yes, the deadlines have to get done. Mm-hmm. The paperwork has to get done, whatever, whatever. But I'm always really big on like, okay, the person is more important. Yes, this I still have to go to the back and do this hour and a half worth of paperwork. Mm-hmm. But even if that means I have to delay that for a few minutes to make sure that my patient is okay or my coworker is okay, mm-hmm. I will delay that thing to be there for them because that person is more important than the thing. What I mean? So I love that this woman kind of shows that it's like, you're more important than my job. You're more important than these other things because human connection is what's most important. And I wish that more people can see this episode and like, be like, aha, let's do this. But a lot of these things kind of go over people's head. They're like, that was a cute story. And then they just go right back to like living their regular lives. Like nothing was seen. You know what I mean? But for me, I'm like, this should be a wake-up call, like that we need to do that for people more often and not just value like capitalism and are you productive? Are you doing what you're supposed to do? Blah, blah, blah. So yeah. I really love part of this too, that she was like, well, I have a meeting. And I did love like when Sylvia did bring up she had the meeting, Lexi was kind of like, oh, because she kind of had a feeling like, okay, good, great. I just like told this girl what I'm feeling. And now she's about to leave me to go to this meeting. But Sylvia surprises her and is like, nah, cancel my meeting. Let's go to breakfast. Like she cancels what she's doing. And so it was cool to see that on Lexi's face as well, where she was just like, you see, this is why. Well, she goes from, you see, this is why I didn't say shit to, oh.
Yeah.
It's actually going better than expected.
To be honest, like I've been there where like I opened up to somebody at the wrong moment because now they got to leave or they got interrupted and now they got to like, now it's like, oh, great. I said this and now it's just left hanging there without any like closure.
Exactly.
So awkward. So I totally, when I saw her face, like how you're depicting, like, yeah, absolutely. But I just loved that Sylvia was just all in. And Lexi even said like, so wait, you want to get coffee and you want to go to the movies with me? And she's like, I'm a terrible friend. She's like, I'm unreliable. I'm a pain to be around when she's in this low. And she's like, and you still want it? She's like, yeah, I still want to do all of that. And I think that's so sweet. And again, Sylvia is the friend that I think we all need in our lives.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. And I love that too. Like basically Sylvia ends up being the catalyst for what kind of helps her accept herself and accept that she needs help and accept that it's okay to be open about being bipolar. Because I think a lot of the times that's what we need. Like when we're dealing with stuff, having somebody accept you with all those flaws or those warts, whatever you want to call it, helps you be okay with it and helps you like kind of move towards a solution even. So I know even with me, like since I was struggling with depression for so long starting as a kid, mm-hmm. it took me finally feeling accepted to by people to be able to be like, okay, I do struggle with depression, and them accepting me with that, for me to finally be like, okay, I can be open about this. I can talk about it. And so now, even if there are some people that can't accept that I deal with depression, I'm like, well, that's not my fucking problem. Like, I'm okay with, you know, the fact that I have the few that do accept me. I feel empowered mm-hmm. to be like, I have this. So even like, for example, with my family, for those who don't really believe in mental health or like mental illness and whatever, like if I have to say, yeah, I deal with depression, anxiety, whether or not they accept it or not, that has nothing to do with me. Yes, it could still be sad, but at the end of the day, it's like, I know I have my community of people that accept me knowing that I have it, and they're cool with it, and they'll, you know, support me. So I think that's what we kind of see with Sylvia and Lexi, is like, she supported her. So now she felt empowered to like, just say, I have this. And then she was like calling people and apologizing, which that was like another level.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I could do that.
The thing is that I can see, I don't know if I could do it either, but yeah. I can see as to why she would want to, because now she feels like she has the space to say, I was a really shitty person to you, mm-hmm. but it's not because I wanted to. It had nothing to do with you. It was because I'm bipolar. And she's like, people that I haven't spoken to in years, that I lost contact, I've definitely been there where I'm like depressed and I'll open a message and I'm like, that's nice. And then I completely forget about it for like a whole month, you know? And then a month later, I'm like, oh, like there was this one girl, she basically took over a previous, like at a previous office that I used to work for. And she was in my desk, right? And she's, again, the new hire, she's replacing me. And so, like, she started working there, like, pre-pandemic. Mm-hmm. But because of the pandemic, she didn't get to her, like, my desk or her new desk until October. And she was mm-hmm. nice enough to email me and say, hey, you left some stuff here at your desk. Do you still want it? And I had no idea that I had left anything, because it's been a year and a half, almost 2 years, since I've ever been at that office.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember during October, I was like super depressed, and she emailed me and I was like, oh yeah, I should email her back. And I never did until March, like literally like 3 weeks ago, where I didn't even email her. I emailed my friend that still works there. And I was like, oh my God, I never responded to this girl. Can you please tell her that I'm sorry? And we ended up coordinating so I can get the few stuff that I left.
That's so like, funny. It's just like
a small example. And this is somebody that I barely knew, but I still felt guilty of never responding to her. Mm-hmm. Like I still felt, when I remembered, I was like, I feel like shit. Like I feel like that was really bad. But during that time, I was like super depressed and really crazy. And it was really intense. So
no, and I get that, because I know there's been times too where I'm like, I look at an email and I know I need to respond to it. And I'm like, because I'm like so depressed. Like, I just can't bring myself to respond to the email. And there's times where I've had to be like, oh, sorry. Like, I've just been going through a lot. Like, I've learned to just be honest about it and say, hey, this is what's been going on.
Yeah.
And in the past, like, I would have never done that. But like now I'm like learning to be okay with doing that because I can't help if I'm having like a really low day. And
I feel like that even happens between you and I. There's times where you text me and it's almost like I feel bad and I don't want people to know that I'm sad.
Mm-hmm.
So like, even though I know the things that I deal with, it's, I don't know, sometimes like the mental illness will shame you into believing that like anybody really wants to help or anybody cares and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like you feel like you're failing even though you're not. And, you know what I mean?
Like a burden. Yeah.
Exactly. And I know even with stupid things like social media, like there's times where like it's months and I don't get to it. And because it's just like another thing and I'm already sad and I'm just like, I feel bad. I'm like, oh, I should have responded. And then I've had to be like, no, if I don't respond to this, it'll be fine. And if it's somebody that I really need to talk to, they'll talk to me. Like, I don't, like, they have my number, like, what I mean? So I don't have to put pressure on myself to perform or talk a certain way or do whatever if I really can't do it. What I mean? So, but it took some time for me to give myself permission to, like, think that way and be that way. But now that I'm there, I'm like, oh, thank God, because it takes pressure off of myself to be like, oh, I have to do this, because really we don't. What I mean? So, yeah. But yeah, so I do like that calls everybody, even though low key, I'm like, oof, I don't know if I could do that, but yeah. It's true. Like sometimes we do have to be on it, but at least like my close friends, I'm not ashamed to do that either, where I'm like, hey, I'm sorry I didn't talk last month. It was just because X, Y, and Z. And usually you guys are like, oh yeah, no worries. And sometimes because we just need time to process whatever it is. Because sometimes I don't even know why I'm sad until I take time by myself and not be around other people and reflect. And then I'm like, oh, this is why I'm sad. But I can't even begin to start that conversation with other people until I take that time for myself to reflect on why I'm sad. So it's kind of hard. But yeah, but overall, this was a good ass episode. And I love that they at least end with like her not saying, oh, I'm cured and everything's okay. I don't have bipolar disorder anymore. But they took the very good, honest route of like, I still have bipolar disorder. But with time, I was able to find the right doctor, the right medication. Sylvia is still like a support for her and she has other supports now. So I love that they highlighted that part of it as well, because I know a lot of the times with mental illness, it's so easy to be like, I don't know, there's this idea of like, oh, it's going to be cured if you pray enough, if you do this enough, if you move this enough. And it's like, no, sometimes like you just have depression or you just have bipolar or you just have schizophrenia or whatever it is. But if you're taking the time to build good support systems, you're taking your medications, you're doing what you need to do for yourself, you can still live a life where you're reaching the goals that you want to reach and you can be somewhat productive, even though I hate the word productive, but you know what I mean? Like you can do things and reach your potential or like do what you want to do, even if it is like, I just want to be able to read books every few days, or I don't know, even if it's like the most mediocre thing you can think of, it's okay. But at least you're doing what you want to do and reaching your goals. You know what I mean? And even then, like, again, the words productive and mediocre, it's like, those are all subjective. Because it's like stuff that I'm like, what I consider productive and what I consider mediocre varies for somebody else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but again, it's like, based off of you and your goals, like, are you able to kind of reach those things for yourself? And that's the goal. What I mean? So I love that she highlights that. She's like, support, medication, took a bit, but she was like patient. She found the right doctors and you see her like somewhat happy and ready to address this topic of dating now. And that kind of brings you back.
Happy in like the manic sense, but she's just content.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's, she was so used to such extremes and then she heard like content and
and it was a reminder of like what I tell my patients too, like medication really helps with like leveling you out. So especially if you're major depressive disorder, like it, instead of your lows be so like so low to the floor that you can't find yourself again, it kind of levels that out. So your lows don't have to be that low. And the same thing with bipolar, your manic stuff is not as bad or your lows are not as bad. It's like somewhere in the middle. And she even says, I still have my moves, like, but it's just not as high or as low. It's like somewhere in kind of in the middle that's more level for you. And again, I love that she points that out. So it's not like, oh, I'm cured, everything is okay. Like that toxic positivity stuff doesn't come up. It's like a real look at like, this is what you deal with and this is how it looks. And she will still have days where she fumbles, but she has supports and she has other things, you know, to kind of lean on. So that's why I like this episode too. It's very realistic of like what it looks like to still live with mental health disorders. And again, I know it looks different for everybody. Some people may not be as manic. Some people may not be as depressed. Some people might have schizophrenia or like a personality disorder. Every mental health disorder is different. But again, it's like trying to figure out what can help you and then reaching for that and having the support is, I think, the key of this episode, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know we talked a lot about like how we related to this. But this, is there anything, I guess, for you that kind of challenged you or like helped you see things differently about like the world around you?
I guess, like, I mean, not that it made me, not that it challenged the way that I thought, but I think it's important to note that she, like the whole medication thing, yeah. I was, when my therapist first mentioned about taking antidepressants, I like freaked out because I felt like a failure. Like I was like, I'm doing all of this work. Like I'm trying to fight these negative thoughts and go to therapy every week and do great things and eat better and go out and like try to do things, the things that people recommend to do, and nothing was working. And instead I was just spiraling like really low.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I just felt like I had failed, right? Like I had done. So it wasn't even like, I know that people take medication and I knew that it wasn't a bad thing, but I think a lot of people have different ideas or different feelings about medication or taking things that kind of level you out. But after speaking about it with you, and again, like you and my therapist were essentially like two peas in a pod. Like you guys sound so similar. Like you guys will say the same, very similar things.
That always makes me laugh.
Yeah. And so you guys had said something where it's like, it's not about that. It's about like just leveling out those really like bad lows. And I liked that, again, the first or second time that I watched it, I wasn't dealing with that stuff. I mean, I was still dealing with depression, but watching it again with like everything that I've gone through in the past like year and a half, it made me see and focus on the whole medication part a little bit differently and kind of like appreciate the fact that they do show her on medication. It's not like she just changed her life because she talked about it. But like, it's like, no, some things just need a little bit, like some people just need a little bit more help. Sometimes it's just an like a chemical imbalance in your brain that you cannot help. And so it's unfair to like say that all of these things, like taking a walk and drinking water and talking about it within therapy, like it's unfair to say that all of those things combined are going to fix you when it's something that it's just chemicals in the brain that are just, they need help.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so that's all. I think it's just a little thing that I noticed it now when I didn't notice it the first time I watched it, like I think during the pandemic or pre-pandemic, I can't remember. But I think it was just a nice thing to notice and how, again, to highlight that help can look in many different ways. Help can look like it's coming from a friend, it's coming from a therapist, but it could also be different forms of medication.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I know for me, I think for me it was like a challenge, even like how I have negative reactions to sometimes certain mental illnesses. But I think part of it is because I work in crisis stuff. Yeah. So a lot of the times I see like the worst case scenario. Yeah. But even then, it's a challenge for me to be like, oh, I can't just automatically, because if you're like, hey, I have bipolar disorder, I can't automatically flinch and have a reaction, because each case is different. Each person is different. And also, just because you have a diagnosis doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you, like in the sense of like you're not deserving of love or care and all that stuff, right? So I think for me that was another reminder of that when watching this, is like, because even she says like that's part of why she's afraid of saying that she has bipolar disorder, because she doesn't want people to treat her differently or fragilely or whatever. So I think that for me, this challenged me in that way again, to be like, ooh, I need to be mindful of that. Because I think if somebody tells me, well, I have depression, I have anxiety, because I deal with that, I'm like, oh yeah, that's easy. Like, I get it. But then there's some other things, like, I know schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, any of the personality disorders. There's some other ones that I think, because especially where I work, I see the worst case scenarios of some of those, some of those disorders.
Yeah.
It's easy for me to put a negative connotation on it. And it's not because I'm trying to, but it's just because I'm so used to seeing the worst case scenarios of a lot of those things that it's like, oh. And I'm even thinking about, like, there's this guy that I met at my job who is diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And he actually very bright man. Like he had his bachelor's in engineering, and he got his master's in materials, I think. And then he was working on his PhD in like bioethics or what, like he had something, but he told me he had bipolar disorder, and I had to be like, what? Like it caught me because I was like, wait, you have bipolar disorder and you're able, and but it, and so even with me, I had to challenge, like, because of the way that we're taught a lot about these different disorders sometimes, like sometimes you without even thinking it, you put a negative connotation on it. And thank God for me, I'm smart enough to be like, okay, it's a thought, and I capture it and be like, that's not okay, Neth, and I don't let it come out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. What I mean. But I know there's some people that it becomes a thought, mm-hmm. and then they let it go to like either out of their mouth or within their actions, they treat people differently. Mm-hmm. And so I've learned with time to like, be like, okay, even if I do may have a thought that I'm like, oh, Neph, that wasn't a good thought. I don't let that thought influence the way that I treat my patients or treat other people, mm-hmm. or like how I speak to other people. Like I try to still show them respect, even if they have whatever diagnosis, what I mean. And so I think that's something that I should constantly try to challenge myself with. And I always try to encourage other people to do the same. Cause again, I think as Anne/Lexi show us, it's like people that have whatever disorder, they're people. They're people who are deserving of love and care. Yeah. Yeah. And it's not like, you only get this because of this. It's just like, you get this period. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, that's why I did really love this episode, because it's like a good reminder. And then I feel like it's just so well done that these people did a hell of a job. I know I still have to catch up on the next season. And actually, I still have to finish this season technically, because I think I was like 2 or 3 episodes that I didn't finish. Because it was, I think, although it's good, it was also very emotional. Every 30 minutes, I was like, oh my God. It was like, oh, so, but it's such a good show. I think I ended up getting my sister into it as well, but it's such a well-written good show. So I definitely will get back to it. But before we end, I did want to do, so like I mentioned at the top and how I've mentioned every other episode, like I do usually do like a segment called Musings of a Tired Black Social Worker, where I reflect on something that's kind of interesting or like catches my attention during the week. I didn't really have that this week. So I wanted to at least end with something kind of like fun for this episode for me and Diane. So one of the things that I thought of like before when we were like during while we were prepping this and talking over together is throughout the episode, we do see like when Lexi is feeling like happy or she's going through like her manic episodes, we see like this upbeat music, all these colors and blah, 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 blah. And then when she's down, you see like this really low music, dark colors and blah, blah, blah. So I thought it would be cool to kind of end this episode by me and Diane kind of sharing maybe 1 or 2 songs that when we're happy, it kind of either like brings out some of those like happy feelings or those colors for us in our heads or whatever. Like it's happy, it makes us happy. And then when we're sad, like maybe some songs that kind of like, I don't know, like capture our mood / it kind of really reiterates like how we're feeling type of thing. So I don't know who wants to go first. I don't know if you want to go first or you want me to go first, but I don't know. I thought it would be fun to kind of do that. So like what songs would we choose for each of these moments? And like not in this, not to sound like horrible here, but like I guess in our more like happy manic-y type moments or like our low
moments. On our own lows and
highs. Yeah, like our lows and highs. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And our lows and highs, like what songs kind of represent that is what we're trying to do with this. So yeah.
Yeah. Do you want me to go first? Do you want
sure.
So for me, I couldn't choose. So I have 2 for low and 2 for high.
Okay.
I'll start with the low and then we can end on a happy
note. Girl, yes. That's a good way to look at it. I'll do the same.
My first low is from a band that I actually was introduced to by this guy that I met like on Tinder or something.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up not being anything important, but at least the takeaway was this amazing band that I'm like absolutely in love with. It's called Arcade Fire. I love a lot of their songs, but specifically the one titled My Body is a Cage, which it's very deep and like not deep and like intellectually deep, like, oh man, like it's not dealing with like crazy themes or anything, but like just it sounds really like deep and dark and like, I don't know, I'm really bad at like music, like trying to describe the tones of music. It's but okay. I guess it almost sounds like he's playing some notes on an organ, mm-hmm. which is really crazy. And it sounds beautiful, but I love it. Anyway, it's one of those songs that when I'm depressed, I don't listen to music, to be honest. I don't really like to do anything because all of my interests and hobbies don't mean anything when I'm depressed. Mm. But this song kind of... it kind of like helps me articulate the ways that I feel about when I am depressed or the reasons why I do get depressed or things that I just deal with.
Yeah, and that makes sense.
Other song is, I actually heard it on Euphoria, and I remember when they played it on Euphoria, I was fucking sobbing. And it's by this amazing artist called Labyrinth, who does a lot of their songs. Who does a lot of like Euphoria songs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called I'm Tired. And it sounds like a gospel song. It's like literally addressing to God and mm-hmm. just saying like, Lord, I'm tired. I'm trying. But like, I'm essentially like over it. And again, like when I'm in my very deep lows, like, I guess thoughts of like no longer existing or just pausing life for a sec, like for not a second, but when you just want the whole world to stop, this is one of those songs that, again, I don't listen to when I'm depressed because I just get more depressed. But it's one of those songs where if I listen to it, it's pretty much depicting how I feel. It's essentially written from my thoughts. That's kind of how it feels like. But when I'm high or when I'm very happy and things are, life feels like okay. Again, another song by Arcade Fire, which is called Good Goddamn, which honestly, it just sounds like it sounds like a super sexy song. It's very like, it gives you like, at least to me, it like, if I listen to this while I'm getting ready, like, I feel like hot shit. Like I am doing like the biggest, like most sharpest eyeliner. Like I am doing my hair. I'm feeling hot. I'm feeling sexy. But it's only because like, I mean, the way that he's singing it and then the music, it's just, you just feel hot. You feel confident. Like it's a really great song to just get ready to. And then another feel good song is Dancing Queen by ABBA. I love.
Oh, that's a good one.
I love ABBA. I think it's so fun. Like that is the song that if it's played, I can't not sing it or I can't not dance.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So yeah, again, I love disco music, but that one specifically is just a song that it's really exciting and it makes me feel good. So
yeah, that's a really good one. I think a lot of ABBA. I'm like thinking about it now too. I'm like, damn, that's a good one. I feel like this is a hard one because I love music. I had to go through like my playlist to be like, oh my god.
The second you like suggested this, I was like, oh, I know exactly the songs that I'm gonna pick because it to me like I use a lot of like music inspires like those film like ideas that I get a lot. And
sense.
So in those, like in having those moments, like I already have songs that make me feel good and make me
that
feel
makes good. Sense. So. Especially with like a lot of the, what's it called? Like how they do those scores and all those little soundtrack stuff. Like there's some stuff that is like, the feelings that come out of it. But yeah, that wasn't me. But I know it's weird because like when I'm sad and stuff, usually it's like, maybe before
like grunge.
So before I was struggling with like Christianity ish like sometimes I would listen to Christian worship music when I'm sad, but then I would also struggle sometimes because it's like you're going through hard stuff and then you're singing about this God and it's like, okay God, you're not really doing it, like no. Yeah. You're not doing it for me. So then I would have to go to like rap music when I'm upset. It was like a very confusing because then I knew like, but I knew like the rap music, like it wasn't really making me feel stuff because like, it's like with between worship and singer songwriter music that I like, a lot of it is just feelings. I have a whole album of feeling. Anyways. I'm such an emo person, but anyway, so the two that I did for sad, one of them is that song Say Something. Girl, did that song by Christina Aguilera, A Great Big World or whatever, those two?
By Christina Aguilera?
Yeah, it's like, say something, I'm giving up.
That's Christina Aguilera? I thought it
yeah,
was...
Yeah, she and, oh, yeah. Yes. So, like, just the beginning, it sounds like kind of like a death march, kind of, like, it's just so sad, the piano, just the feelings of it. So that is, like for me, I'm like, it just grabs what I'm feeling. And then I also picked that song, Cough Syrup. Yeah, Young the Giant. Also, I was looking up what this song is actually about. It sounds like he's talking about like using cough syrup to unalive himself. I was like, oh. But it's just like the sadness of this, like he's life too short to even care at all. I was like,
what's crazy is that song, while the lyrics are sad, the beat is like kind of like happy.
Yeah, that's why like you could be like, if I could find it, and you're like, wait, what is he saying?
Excuse me, sir,
you good? Okay, but, which is horrible, we're not saying suicide is funny, but yeah. I think the reason I related to this song though is because I know when I'm really going through my lows, like everything feels bad. Everything is the worst. Mm-hmm. The glass is like all the way, like it's on the floor, it's like it's empty. Yeah.
Broken.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like this song, a lot of the lyrics, I was like, yeah, this is usually how I feel when I'm really going through the downs, even though, and I feel like even think about how upbeat it is. I think it's very reminiscent of like how I am. Cause like, even if I'm like really sad, yeah. I sometimes hide it pretty well. I mean, there's times where it's like really obvious and people are like, girl, you good? Like they know, but there's sometimes I can hide it pretty well, that I can still be like the jokester and like doing all this other stuff. But then on the inside, like very obvious, like I'm very depressed and sad. So it's like that uppity music, but on the inside, I'm like, I can find, but I mean, like, so I don't know. Again, this song is very sad and depressing, like I said, but I know that sometimes like that's me too, where it's like I'm this uppity thing on the outside, but then when you really dig deep into the words, you're like,
not nah. For you.
I know sometimes some of my friends have to call me out too, because like I'm posting jokes about, I mean like I'm posting memes and stuff that are like low-key like a cry for help, and sometimes I'm really fine, I just have a horrible sense of humor.
Yeah,
but thanks. There's other times where it's probably fitty. So my friends are like, girl, I saw that post, you are right. Yeah. You know, because they have to call me out. So I think there's that. And then for the happy stuff, again, I could have been here all day trying to figure out what song, but I did go with, there's this song by Whitney Houston called Million Dollar Bill.
Okay,
it gets me like, if you've been feeling like a $1 million, like just the beginning, like just the start of it, it really just gets you pumped. So if you haven't heard that song, good one.
I mean, anything by Whitney.
Yeah, that's true. But I know she also has some sad songs too.
I know.
And then I also like the song called Before I Let Go by Frankie Beverly. And it's technically...
That sounds like a white artist.
No, it's a black one, I believe. It's actually the Black National Anthem.
No way.
But it's the one that's like, you make me happy, that song. But anyways, you need to listen to that one too. But as soon as the beginning starts and they're like, do, whoa, you just know it's about to go down. Oh, you know?
Yeah. The intro just sets up.
Exactly. But as soon as I hear that intro or Million Dollar Bill intro, like, I'm just ready. I'm like, yeah, let's go. It always gets me in a good mood. So those are the two that I picked for the happy. And it is really funny because, I mean, there are probably is some songs like in this current genre or like this current day that could fit into the happy stuff. But there was, I think for both of us, we kind of picked stuff from the past. Like, because there was a vibe that like Ava and even like Whitney and all these people have that, I don't know, they brought it in the music. And you like, even like, for example, like the September Earth, Wind and Fire, like they have this, like, this thing that is like, okay, like if we had our own little montage, you're like, let's go, you're getting ready, you're off your feet, you're moving and grooving. So I think that's kind of why I like some of these songs for that. So that was our choices. You guys can feel free to let me know about your choices whenever I post a clip from this episode on our Instagram feed, or you always can email me at connect@soulsessionswithneff to give us your feedback and all that stuff. So yeah, but this was the episode. I thank you guys so much for joining me and my lovely guest, Diane, to talk about this TV show. I hope that you guys actually go and watch it. Besides this episode, I think the whole series is really great. It will get you in your feels, but we need that at this point. I think too many of us are not connected with our feels, and this is why we're here. But I hope you guys check out the show. And Diane, thank you so much for joining me. Yay. Do you have anything to say to the people?
No.
You always are like, nah, I'm okay. No, but yeah.
Just thanks for, you know, listening. And thanks.
Yeah. Thank you for it's like thanks for listening to what our conversations on the phone sound like on here.
Yeah.
But edited.
More cussing.
That's really funny. But yes, yeah, so thank you guys all for checking out this episode. I hope you guys enjoy it. And with that said, please enjoy my outro and stay tuned for more coming up soon. Hey there, and thank you for joining me on this week's episode of Critical Reads. To find out more about me or to consume more of my content, please feel free to visit my website, soulsessionswithneff.com, where I share a variety of things, including blog posts, resource lists, and have a regularly updated calendar for this podcast. You can also follow me on Instagram and Facebook using the handle @soulsessionswithneff. While you're at it, if you really enjoy listening to Critical Reads, I encourage you to please subscribe to this show on iTunes, Google, or Spotify, and take some time to rate us on these different platforms. Your reviews will really help the show gain some visibility and also give me some much needed feedback on how the show is doing. I thank you in advance for your time and your support. And until next time, this has been Neff with some Critical Reads.